Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. And so, heads will not be rolling at the CIA for intelligence failures that opened the way for the terrorist attacks of 9/11. CIA Director Porter Goss announced last week that he will not pursue disciplinary hearings, despite the recommendation of the CIA's Inspector General, who found serious shortcomings in the agency's performance. After 4 years of internal investigation, and at a moment when accountability is all the buzz, the Goss decision turned heads. In a classified document, the CIA's Inspector General reportedly named names of 20 CIA officers whose actions, he said, should be investigated by an accountability review board. Last week, Goss called those CIA officers among the finest we have and said no discipline. Agency morale, he suggested, couldn't take it. This hour on Point, accountability, the CIA, and the health of America's intelligence gathering operations. You can join the conversation. Is there something wrong with this picture? Should individuals in the CIA be held accountable for pre-9/11 failings, for the future security of the country, or not? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We begin today in Washington with Douglas Gell, who covers intelligence for the New York Times. Doug, thanks for being with us.
Nice to be with you.
Remind us of the origins of this Inspector General's report, Doug.
Congress asked for this report nearly 3 years ago when it finished the first round of investigations into the 9/11 attacks. This was a congressional joint inquiry, and when they finished, they asked the FBI, the Pentagon, and the CIA to conduct their own investigations to determine whether anyone should be held accountable and who.
It's a classified report. Of course, people on Capitol Hill have read it, and from that, reporters like yourself have a sense of what's there. Your reporting says about 20 CIA officers have been named as potential targets for accountability review. What sort of officers? At what level? Who?
These range from people at low or mid-levels who worked in the counterterrorism center at the CIA before 9/11, all the way up to George Tenet, the former director, and Jim Pavitt, who was the head of the clandestine service.
So George Tenet went away with the Medal of Freedom from George Bush. How are people in Washington taking this? It's a long time now since 9/11. Is it fair to look back at particular failings and say this was an individual shortcoming that needs to be met with discipline?
Well, Porter Goss, the current director, of course, has concluded essentially that it would not be fair. Mr. Goss says that the report, which we haven't seen, does not make the case that any individual or group of individuals could have prevented 9/11. Other CIA officials point out that the CIA has held its people more accountable than other agencies. Its report is the only one to name names. And I think the sense from CIA is that it's time to move on. Now, on Capitol Hill, we hear a different version, members suggesting that they are concerned about Goss's decision and will ask him to explain it to Congress when he testifies later this month.
Are those just Democratic critics on Capitol Hill or not?
No, they're from both parties. Pat Roberts, the Republican from Kansas, who's the chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, has also expressed some concern and said that he'll ask Goss to explain himself. But there aren't indications, I don't think, that this is going to create the kind of uproar in Congress that would force Goss to reverse his decision. The agency's rules say it's up to the director to decide whether to convene these kinds of disciplinary hearings. Goss has used his authority, said it was a judgment call. I think the matter is likely to end there.
As big as 9/11 was, it can sound nitpicking all these years later, and yet everybody wants to understand what happened and be sure that that kind of failing doesn't happen again. Is there any sense of exactly what kind of serious shortcomings the Inspector General, John Helgerson, is described in the report?
Well, again, it's difficult to say because the document's classified and it really has been very closely held. But I think we know that these failings fall into two broad areas. at the working level, there's been the failure, very well documented by the 9/11 Commission and others, of the CIA to share with the FBI information about two of the hijackers it had picked up as worrying more than a year before the attacks, but didn't share information with the FBI until not long before the attacks. The second failure at the high level is an argument that George Tenet and his top lieutenants may have paid attention to Osama bin Laden, but perhaps didn't direct enough attention at combating the operators in al-Qaeda, the Khalid Sheikh Mohammeds and others, that they may have talked a good game on terrorism, but didn't devote the resources to the problem that should have been devoted.
So, Doug, Portergas said in a message on this decision, which he called a matter of judgment, his decision not to move forward with accountability review board proceedings, that disciplinary action would, quoting him, send the wrong message to our junior officers about taking risks. Now, what does that mean? Is he suggesting that these people took risks to turn away 9/11 and they simply failed? What risks are we talking about?
Well, I think Goss is talking about the risks that are inherent in the intelligence business. And there's a feeling at CIA, fairly well grounded over history, that CIA has been held accountable for things that go wrong. The concern that Goss has expressed over the years has been that if people are held accountable for everything that goes wrong, they won't take the risks that you need to take in the intelligence business. That seems to be what Goss is saying here.
Not that people took risks pre-9/11 that they would be punished for here.
Well, I think the risk of associating yourself with a difficult proposition, that is going after terrorism. The argument might be if people were disciplined in this case, others would do their best to distance themselves from an operation in which they might be held accountable, blamed in the future.
Of course, presumably you could make the opposite case, that it would put people up on their toes and make them more likely to speak up and even to break China if necessary to get the word out.
You could make that argument. I think breaking China is, again, something that CIA tends to be to look askance at, because they look back all the way back to the Church Commission of the 1970s and say, boy, every time we took some risks, we end up being scapegoated for it.
On the other hand, there's 9/11, and it happened. Doug, you've written more broadly about Portergas struggling to rebuild morale and assert leadership at the CIA, an institution you've described as shaken by recent failures and buffeted by change. Is this an agency that's moving into the backseat of American intelligence gathering?
Well, it's certainly no longer in the driver's seat. Whether it's in the back seat or riding shotgun probably depends on the day. It's an agency that for 50 years was calling the shots in the intelligence community. It's now very much subordinate to John Negroponte and Michael Hayden, the new director and deputy director of National Intelligence. And it's having a hard time getting used to the fact that it's not in charge.
And in the spotlight last week for saying no to the accountability review. Doug Gelt, thanks for all your reporting, and thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.
Douglas Gelt, New York Times reporter. He covers intelligence. We are joined now by John McLaughlin. He's currently senior fellow in the Merrill Center for Strategic Studies at the Paul H. Nitzsch School of Advanced International Studies at Johns Hopkins University. He was acting CIA director from July to September 2004, and from 2000 to the end of 2004, deputy director for intelligence at the CIA. Mr. McLaughlin, thank you very much for joining us.
Hi, Tom.
So it's the accountability season, or at least that's kind of in the air these days, John McLaughlin. And last week, Portergas said no to an accountability review board recommended by the CIA Inspector General. We're on the outside looking in and trying to make sense of this. Do you think he made the right decision?
Tom, I do think he made the right decision. People have to stand back and look at the CIA's record on counterterrorism over a long period of years. 9/11, of course, is for most Americans the day that the war on terror began, but for CIA it began many years before that. I would say that CIA has been at war with terrorists for a decade or more, and with al-Qaeda since the mid-90s, accelerating in 1998, and reaching a peak of sorts during the millennium period when the centuries changed.
But when there's such a failure, so huge, public, with such consequences in a war like that, presidents sometimes remove generals. Why not some disciplinary response here? Are you saying nothing was went wrong, nothing was done wrong?
No, I wouldn't say that. Everyone in the U.S. government, as the 9/11 Commission pointed out, could have done better on many different scores. Well, I think the director's decision is right here, is that I think it would be simply wrong to single out for punishment the agency that the 9/11 Commission said in its report had done more than any other agency in the federal government prior to 9/11 to fight al-Qaeda and to working day and night, as the 9/11 Commission said. In the millennium period, there were actions taken in over 50 countries to combat al-Qaeda. We prevented attacks in embassies, in our embassies in Albania, Yemen, Western Europe. And we lost some battles in that period, including, of course, 9/11, which was a huge loss. But it's important to remember that just 4 days after 9/11, the CIA had a plan on the president's desk for attacking al-Qaeda in dozens of countries, including its sanctuary in Afghanistan, a plan that worked because we had been planning for such a counterattack for years.
John McLaughlin, we just got you for half a minute more, and it's good to have you at all. What do you think about the CIA's health right now? Porter Goss appears worried about its morale. Is morale strong? Would it have hurt morale to see discipline for past oversight, for past shortcomings?
Well, I think it would hurt morale in this sense, that many of the people mentioned in this report are the very people whose actions accounted since 9/11 for the kinds of victories that the president cited in his speech just last week when he talked about at least 10 different disruptions around the world. These are the people who have been working 24/7, people who before 9/11 were in essence spread-eagled across a dike trying to stop terrorism, and the kind of people who have been focused very heavily on the problem since then. So to single them out in the U.S. government for punishment at a time when you could look around the government and find many others in Congress and elsewhere who didn't focus sufficiently on terrorism when we were warning about it prior to 9/11.
Would just be wrong in your view, and we've got it. John McLaughlin, former acting CIA director in 2004. Thanks for joining us. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about accountability and the CIA, about the agency and its decision to go with no internal discipline for the intelligence failures of 9/11. You can join our conversation post-9/11, post-missing WMD, post-Katrina. Is it time for more, not less, accountability in Washington? George Tenet got the Medal of Freedom after 9/11. Is there something wrong with this picture? Should heads have rolled at the CIA? Or was it too much to ask the prevention of 9/11? 1-800-423-8255 is our number. That's 1-800-423-TALK. I am joined at this moment from Colorado by Robert Baer, a 20-year veteran of the CIA. He served as Middle East Station Chief. He's author of See No Evil, The True Story of a Ground Soldier in the CIA's War on Terrorism, and Sleeping with the Devil, How Washington Sold Our Soul for Saudi Crude. Robert Baer, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Also with us from Maryland this hour is Frank Anderson. He was chief of the Near East and South Asia Division of the CIA from 1991 to 95. I think that makes him Bob Baer's boss, we'll inquire, at that time. He was with the CIA for 28 years. He's run has run a consulting firm specializing in Middle East affairs since leaving the CIA. Frank Anderson, thanks to you for joining us.
Good morning to you.
Bob Baer, first to you. You just heard John McLaughlin defend Porter Goss's decision. Porter Goss said it would send the wrong message to junior officers in the CIA about taking risks if heads rolled or there was any disciplinary action for intelligence failures pre-9/11. You've been there. What do you think of his decision?
I think it's a mistake. I realize the CIA is going through a particularly rough period now. Morale is bad. People are still quitting. The leadership and the Directorate of Operations, which is the core of the CIA, are continuing to leave. On the other hand, the CIA has always held its officers to a higher standard than most federal bureaucracies. Security rules, looking into its own intelligence product, firing people, giving them letters of reprimand, and I think by saying that no one's responsible for 9/11, or at least let it be dealt with internally, you're sending to the message that failure is acceptable.
Frank Anderson, failure is acceptable in the CIA.
Well, let me point my strong disagreement with the idea that failure is acceptable in the CIA, and also taking a look at the director's statement on this. And it was, the statement was not one of ducking accountability, but in fact taking it. He had said that there were 20 areas of systemic issues that were identified, and described the their efforts to deal with those systemic ones. Did point out that you couldn't find a person or an individual or group of persons who were responsible or could have prevented 9/11. And then did what I think is a very positive move, and that's move away from this idea of accountability commissions to the individual leadership accountability of the director and then others down the chain of the command for real accountability. And real accountability is leaders who reward good behavior, correct mistaken behavior, and punish bad behavior, rather than duck into or behind commissions to make those judgments. And Goss made those individual judgments, saying that there was behavior that was mistaken that needed to be corrected, and he's taken that act. He didn't identify behavior that needed to be rewarded, but he certainly said, I couldn't find bad behavior that needed to be punished.
Maybe he couldn't, but from what we understand, from the reporting on this classified document, the CIA's own Inspector General, John Helgerson, did. He named names. George Tenet himself, James Pavitt, former Deputy Director for Operations, Kofor Black, former head of the Counterterrorism Center. He called for an accountability review board, which, as you well know, is the step toward disciplinary action. What's wrong with that? Systemic failures, absolutely. Let's pay attention. But is there no time, even after a catastrophe of that scale, when American officials in the intelligence world ought to step up and say, wow, I blew it, or the agency ought to look at its own and say, that wasn't good. Here's the reprimand, at least.
I think there are definitely times when there is behavior, when the wrong thing is done or the right thing is not done, that needs to be addressed. What the IG's call for an accountability commission to look at this,
mm-hmm.
Committee is different from, or the director's decision not to have a committee do this, and a decision to do it himself is quite different from not doing it.
But he's not doing it. No one is being demoted here that we're told. No one's losing their job. The reports are that there will not be disciplinary action.
He's made the individual, and this is an important responsibility of leadership. He's made the individual, his leadership, he's taken on his leadership responsibility to say that I've looked at this and I don't find an individual who should be disciplined.
Robert Baer, the public sits out here and we're looking in and trying to make sense of this. We hear Frank Anderson's defense, but it sounds like kind of a blanket amnesty here.
It does sound that way to me. You know, after World War II, two senior officers were fired summarily, and I doubt that they were entirely themselves responsible for the attack on Pearl Harbor of not defending against it. But let me go get back to the way the CIA used to work. When I was in the Middle East, I was in assignment, my first Arab assignment, an Arab country,
mm-hmm.
and I was catching on very slowly. The division chief, not Frank Anderson at the time, pulled me out. For that reason, I was off the promotion list for 5 years. We had discipline in the Directorate of Operations. You made a mistake, you either fired or reprimanded.
And off the promotion track for 5 years. That's real discipline.
It was. And I started to learn about Arab politics and did a lot better job. And I think the only way the CIA can move forward is, even if it has to do it internally, is identify these people, say what they did wrong, and reprimand them or fire them. Look at the case of the two hijackers in San Diego, that this information was not passed to the FBI. Now, if we're getting the story wrong, the CIA should tell us. But the way it was described is somebody in the counterterrorism center stopped that information from going to the FBI, and it was conceivably that information combined with other information could have stopped 9/11. If this is not true, it should be stated, or that person should be reprimanded.
Accountability is in the air. We're talking about it this morning in regard to the CIA and 9/11. Porter Goss says, no, thank you. We'll handle it our way. What do you think? 1-800-423-8255. Dylan is calling from Augusta, Georgia. Hi, Dylan. You're on the air.
Hello.
What do you know? What do you think?
I'm in the U.S. Army, and I'm in the Intelligence Corps, and we're reprimanded for even the smallest of errors. If we leave out a document, I mean, something that has no consequence. I mean, we're brought down in rank and then demoted and pay is taken from us. And I mean, to think that a disaster like this is to take place and no one's going to get punished for it just seems kind of ludicrous.
But Portugal says it would hurt morale in the CIA, Dylan. Do you see it hurting morale in military intelligence when discipline is meted out?
Absolutely, but where do you draw the line on that? I mean, you can't say that certain morale is brought down and then just sacrifice, you know, the quality of the intelligence.
Put the spurs in and go for performance. We hear it. Frank Anderson, there's an Army intelligence agent saying, come on, we use it and it works. Why not the CIA?
Let me go back to the statement both by Bob Baer and John McLaughlin, and that is that it is definitely the truth in the CIA that behavior, as just described by our soldier, is punished. And that the agency holds its people to a higher standard than any other organization.
So where is it in this case, 9/11?
In this case, there was an investigation. The director made the leadership decision that there was not any individual behavior that needed to be punished.
What about the Inspector General's report? Serious shortcomings, 20 names named.
The Inspector General said that these things needed to be looked into. He called for a commission to look into whether or not they should be disciplined. The director looked into it as the director. He took his leadership responsibility seriously and came to the conclusion that they needed not to be, that there was no individual behavior to be disciplined.
Maybe you're reading something I'm not. I mean, the reports I'm reading from Douglas Gell on Helgerson's report say 20 names, suggesting accountability review board, which would be the road to discipline. And Portergoss saying, no, we're not going down that road.
You know, Tom, by saying an accountability review board is the road to discipline, it brings, frankly, it takes me to sort of the catch-22 trial of this man is guilty, what are the charges?
No, not necessarily. It says let's mount the board.
Pardon?
It says let's mount the board.
Right, but the director has a responsibility for that sort of discipline. And as a matter of fact, I applaud this in the following sense. The agency for the last 15 years, almost 20 years, has been drifting away from its tradition and its culture of discipline through mechanisms like accountability review boards, which take away from individual leaders the responsibility for identifying those behaviors that need to be corrected and identifying those behaviors that need to be rewarded. The fact that he did it as an individual, I think, is a very positive, not a negative trend.
Robert Baer, we don't want to beat up on people who were, as John McLaughlin said just a few minutes ago, to a spread eagle over the dike of terrorism in advance of 9/11. We don't want to go back and just out of anger or frustration beat up on people. It's really more forward-looking. But we do want to have the sense, I think, as citizens, that our government agencies are accountable and that there's discipline out there waiting if appropriate when really big mistakes happen. So how do we look back at 9/11? I mean,
Tom, I agree with you 100%. The problem is, I mean, I've been out almost 8 years now, and I'm starting to look at this as an average citizen, and I've lost any trust I had in the CIA. And it was an organization I spent my adult life in, 21 years. And now I'm seeing there's no accountability. It's being held responsible for Iraq. It's being held responsible, in a large degree, for 9/11. And the only way to recover this is to be honest and forthcoming and explain what happened and take appropriate actions. If the CIA is continued to be marginalized, we're going to have the Department of Defense taking over intelligence. Mm-hmm, We've already seen Negroponte has a key role in intelligence, and I think that's a huge mistake.
He's the one briefing the president every day now.
The CIA, when it does a good job, does better than any government agency in Washington, and I think it can go back to that, but holding itself to higher standards.
I want to bring another voice, another perspective into this conversation. Joining us from Washington, Judith Yaffe, Iraq specialist at the National Defense University in Washington, former CIA Middle East specialist, 1975 to 95. She was in the Office of Near Eastern and South Asian Analysis. Judith Yaffe, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
What do you make of Portergoss's decision here? Has he done the right thing in saying no to discipline?
Well, it's a complicated issue. You've heard some interesting sides. I come at it from a different point of view. I was in the Intelligence Directorate, which is the analytic component,
mm-hmm.
which I always thought was the leading part of the agency, but that's okay. Bob and I can argue about that later. But I guess my question is this. You want to make an example, and you want somebody to blame, and let's make these people accountable. I think Porter Goss is correct that if you do carry this accountability out, if you made a mistake on 9/11, if you make a mistake on mm-hmm. any call, you're out. That would end risk-taking, people willing to make judgments that go beyond the evidence to really be predictive. Now, my own personal point of view is that we've gotten too far away from that already. That as the effect of 9/11 and a lot of other reforms, it's taken the CIA and especially the analytic core, which I feel strongly about, away from its true function, which is to not to be afraid, but to be predictive, to be estimate, take everything they know,
Yo.
And to be able to predict without fear of punishment. If I want to predict that Saddam is going to do something or...
Say so.
I have to say it, whether the administration approves it or not. And that's the problem that I think we've had an intelligence community which has been cowed. But I think the problem predates the Bush people. I would ask this question.
Mm.
You want to look for people to punish the agency? Fine. But what is appalling to me, and I did 3 years in counterterrorism when it was first set up in the 1980s, and Bob, I think, will remember a lot of this as well.
Yep.
The point is, who do you punish for real sins? You can punish the agency, fine, but I'm much more concerned at the culture. How do you punish a culture? And what 9/11 taught us, and here I thought the investigations by the committee were really brilliant because they showed the flaws in the practice of intelligence, the sharing of information,
right.
what was wrong with the cultures, and how much stovepiping. Has any of that been corrected? I want those people held accountable for not being able to correct, to make a functioning organization. There was...
But can you hold it there for just a moment, Judith? I mean, isn't that the issue here? I don't think anyone's saying, let's just make an example for the sake of making an example, or who's out to punish someone for no reason. Accountability, to my mind, is about when things go wrong, figuring out why, figuring out whose instincts or management style or intelligence gathering wasn't working, and getting them out of those positions, demoting them, making it known that was risk-taking. Who took the risk before 9/11?
Well, but I think you want to look at what the culture was teaching and what kind of bad behavior was reinforced. It's not just one individual. If you said that stovepiping was wrong, if you said that a refusal to share information with another agency was wrong, and clearly 9/11 pointed that out as nothing else could, then... look to punish those kinds of behavior and to change that culture. But if you're going to punish somebody who said, gee, I knew that this was a bad guy, but I called it wrong, and so there wasn't a threat, that's a different set of issues.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Bob Baer, change the system. Don't punish individuals.
You know, Tom, I'd like to get back to your point that you made, that these people are not being singled out for taking risks. They were singled out for acts of failure to carry out their duties. And we have to make that distinction. Because, in fact, the CIA, through the 90s, was discouraged from taking any risks at all. I mean, I was in Central Asia at that time, and the Clinton administration decided that we didn't care about Afghanistan and that we didn't need to have sources in Afghanistan. And it started falling back then. And Judy's right about the culture. The culture just doesn't work. I mean... I'd like to bring up this. The FBI still doesn't have computers, let alone having computers that could integrate with the CIA databases. We're completely stuck in the pre-9/11 culture. And until we make some hard decisions and point out the system and above all being transparent, it's not going to change.
I mean, that's, Judith Yaffe, that's what is, I think, in the back of everyone's mind, is some evidence of change, some evidence that things are mixed up. There's been huge institutional changes. Isn't that the systemic address that you're asking for?
No, institutional changes, just for the sake of change or because committee recommended them, that is not real change. Some of it is just change to look like we're moving around and moving the pieces on the table. Now, this reform and the creation of Negroponte in a higher position, how much is that real change? But in a sense, does it take us towards the goal or of accountability or away from it. And I think it takes us away from it because, in effect, you're creating a new layer of management. You're taking away, I think it's going to dilute that whole responsibility factor even further. I don't think it doesn't solve any problems. It's going to create new ones.
We're going to come back and look at where the CIA and American intelligence gathering is headed right now. Judith Yaffe, Frank Anderson, Robert Baer, please stand by. Listeners, you can join us should some discipline somewhere have been handed out. Or was 9/11 like an act of God where no human has responsibility? Do you really believe that? We're at 1-800-423-8255. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
Support for On Point comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston. Bicon Dental Implants, offering short implants that can eliminate the need for bone grafting. Information is available at Bicon.com, B-I-C-O-N.com. And Private Wealth Management at Babson Capital, for more than 60 years helping clients build and preserve wealth through financial planning, investment management, and trust services. In Cambridge and on the web at BabsonCapital.com.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about accountability and the CIA, about the agency and its decision to go with no internal discipline for the intelligence failures of 9/11. You can join us. What is the best way to get intelligence agents focused for the future? And can we have high morale and accountability in the government, in the CIA? 1-800-423-8255. We're joined in this hour by Robert Baer, 20-year veteran of the CIA, served as Mideast station chief, author of See No Evil and Sleeping with the Devil. We're joined by Frank Anderson. He was chief of the Near East and South Asia division of the CIA from 91 to 95. He was in the CIA for 28 years. And by Judith Yaffe, another longtime CIA official analyst, now Iraq specialist at the National Defense University in Washington. You can join us as well, 1-800-423-8255. Brett is calling from Gettysburg, Maryland. Hi, Brett. What do you think?
Well, I think the danger that we face is in simplifying the complexity of this problem
mm-hmm.
so that we can come up with a solution that is politically acceptable to an electorate and a public that really doesn't understand how complicated the issues are.
But even to make it politically acceptable is a challenge in itself. What are you afraid we risk blowing by, Brett?
Well, I think what we're talking about doing is punishing the firemen who have been warning parents that the children are playing with matches when the house burns down.
And
I mean, it's, you know, the danger is that you don't, we can't single out one group and put punishment there. There's no conversation about elected officials' responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
There's no punishment there. It's a complicated problem, and a lot of the reorganization that's occurred has resulted in agencies being formed as supervising groups to subordinate agencies that have taken their staff from those subordinate agencies. But when the directors of the subordinate agencies were asked to send people up to the higher echelon, they don't send their best people because they need their best people.
What?
So we now have a lower grade of worker supervising the people who are left behind to do the real work.
There you're getting us right into the nitty-gritty of the organizational chart, and it looks complicated quickly, Brett, but thank you for your call. Frank Anderson, Brett's kind of singing your song here, and yet you can feel that people want both high morale and accountability. Is that too much to ask?
High morale requires accountability. There's no question about it. I'm just, and nothing I've said indicates or should indicate that I'm
mm-hmm.
I don't believe in that absolute link between accountability and morale, but it has to be real accountability. Britt's analogy or his metaphor of the fireman being punished for the fire is apt here. The agency and the United States government has undertaken a number of reforms, and as Britt has pointed out, many of them are increasing, not addressing the dysfunction. For inappropriate political reasons,
mm-hmm.
we've created organizations that add layers of of management over the very few people who are still doing the work, with very few increases or only small increases in the people at the point of the lance doing the work of collecting intelligence, analyzing that intelligence, and passing it off to policymakers who can act upon it.
And you're talking there about the structural changes made after 9/11, John Negroponte is Directorate of Intelligence, now sitting above the CIA, that kind of change?
You know, if John Negroponte sat above the CIA as it currently and between it and the president, mm-hmm. and exercised real leadership in that position, I think that might be at least a neutral act. But in fact, what we have is a director of national intelligence who has budgetary input across the intelligence community.
Mm-hmm.
He's not, as the director of central intelligence remains, in charge of human intelligence or operations. And in what I think is a tragic move, the director of national intelligence is moving off the other side of the river, the Anacostia River, to Bowling Air Force Base for headquarters. He should never be more, the intelligence leader shouldn't be more than 100 feet from the president.
And yet he's moving further away. You know, in all this, I mean, I hear you defending what happened, and maybe you're right, we're hearing other views as well here. What we really want is an intelligence community that works, that has high morale, and that is accountable, and we hope it can be structured that way, and that's not too much to ask. Let me get another call. David's calling from Groton, Massachusetts. Hi, David, you're on the air.
Good morning. My concern about all this is the political timing and the scapegoating of the CIA. I'm not a great fan of the CIA historically as an interventionist agency, et cetera, but if you look at the record, the 9/11 report, Richard Clark, Paul O'Neill, Bob Woodward, John Dean,
yep.
you see that the current administration didn't respond to what the CIA had to offer before 9/11, and that they did a lot of arm-twisting to justify Iraq. And I think that the timing kind of smells of the mendacity of the administration.
But you say scapegoating, but Porter Goss is gone the opposite way. He's not chopping heads here. He's not whacking people down in the organization chart. Maybe you're just talking about this show. Do you think we're a shill for the White House?
Well, I don't mean your show, but I mean it being brought up as a public issue at this
mm-hmm.
time. I'm not countering Porter Goss's conclusions here, and I'm sure that there's a lot of corrections that need to be made. I mean, I want to have a intelligently structured, useful CIA, and I'm sure we have to make a lot of changes. But the timing of all this is
mm-hmm.
what concerns me.
Judith Yaffe, what about David's point? I mean, throughout there's been issues of where the blame landed. It turns out maybe it will land nowhere, and maybe that's right.
I'm so glad you came to me, because I've been dying to say something, which is it's one thing to want to focus on the CIA, but if you're going to look for accountability there, where's the accountability in the other organizations that all contributed? This was not a CIA failure all by itself. Where's the NSA, which failed to translate, and then when it did translate, pass on their information? And the FBI, is anyone talking about accountability for Louis Freeh?
Mm.
Who did a lot to dismantle his organization and support a culture of non-cooperation, and then resign before any of this could happen. It would be nice for accountability, and sure, I'd love to see Tenet should have committed, you know, a political seppuku and fallen on his sword and all that, fine. But I would simply point, again, a final point on this,
mm-hmm.
the culture in the agency. 9/11 is to America what Aldrich Ames was to the CIA and its community, and the punishments there for what was a disaster, intelligence-wise,
mm-hmm.
Were equally, I think, unevenly meted out. Those who were responsible for protecting an incompetent, who had all kinds of suspicious connections and stories, were not punished, but people on an outer circle who felt that was unfair, that there was an unfairness in how this was being treated, were punished. There's no consistency here.
Well, let's take a call. Chuck is calling from Charlotte, North Carolina. Chuck, you're on the air.
Thank you. My question really predates 9/11. In 1993, when the World Trade Center was bombed from the basement,
yep.
And it didn't topple the building,
mm-hmm.
it seems that it would make sense to realize that if Islamic terrorists are going to be very patient in their planning and what they're doing, why 8 years prior to 9/11, wasn't more of this interagency with the NSA and the FBI and the CIA done. But in typical fashion, the American people forget quickly, and the government agencies forget quickly because it didn't take a major toll.
Chuck, we've got it, and our time is short. Let us look at that. Robert Baer, the people may forget quickly, but we like to think that we're paying and, you know, mounting our intelligence operations so they won't. What about lessons learned and unlearned before 9/11? And are they being learned more effectively today, perhaps most importantly?
Well, if we go by history, they're not. You know, a year later, there was a hijacking of an airplane out of Algeria, which was going to be run into targets in Paris, France. We never caught on then. 1995, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the mastermind, you know, fled to Qatar. No one did anything. We didn't seem to learn anything. It's this culture of gridlock in Washington that's truly the problem. It is the FBI. It is the National Security Agency. It is the White House. And until we have overall accountability, and not just in the CIA, we're going to have another attack.
Frank, we don't want things to go there. When you look back before 2001, do you see mistakes in the CIA's handling of this? And we're being told from all sides, don't single them out alone. We get that. The White House had its role, the NSA, the FBI. But when you look back, do you see mistakes? And are you simply saying it's wrong to punish individuals for those mistakes?
Frankly, I see mistakes at every level all the time in human activity. There were a number of mistakes between 19, pick the date, the first World Trade Center attack or the embassy attacks. Those mistakes, and this is going to sound excessively defensive of the CIA, weren't generally CIA mistakes. The CIA had identified bin Laden as the problem, had organized itself not just to collect intelligence on him, but to take him out if necessary, and it had made a number of proposals to the administration between 1995 and 2001 to act directly against bin Laden. In the pre-9/11 world, those measures were just simply not politically acceptable.
But what about the charge that's reportedly included in the Inspector General's report, in John Helgeson's report, that the CIA was too focused on one man, on bin Laden, and not enough on the whole al-Qaeda organization, which ultimately ended up executing the attack? Frank?
I'm not aware of the individual criticisms in the Helgeson report, because that is still classified. I really just can't address an individual one.
It's tough when things are classified and we've got pieces of it that are public and pieces that are not. Edward is calling from Belmont, Massachusetts. Hi, Ed, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you. I just have two comments that are sort of questions. One is to echo the notion that the FBI has not been part of this equation, and I would just remind you of two names, John O'Neill and Colleen Rowley. One, the first tragically died in the World Trade Center, but my reading is that he made every effort from the lower levels to bring certain dysfunctions and information to his direction. And second of all, Colleen Rowley,
the whistleblower, of course,
that we know about. Mm-hmm. And the point being that I think the contrast between Louis Freeh's activities lately and George Tenet's discretion is just says volumes to me that people in the CIA have been performing a very, very difficult task. And I had some contact with them 25 odd years ago, and frankly, it's very difficult after the fact to start laying blame on individuals unless you can actually find that they consciously did things that led to these events.
And yet you want an atmosphere, you want a culture, a word we've heard a number of times this hour, where people like John O'Neill are heard, where information, once it's gathered, is shared, where you know, the right thing is encouraged, and of course leaders are supposed to do that. Judith Yaffe, what about the resignations we've seen from the CIA in the last year, and very recently with Robert Richer, the Director of Operations number two guy? How are you interpreting these? Porter Goss says he needs to protect morale. Do these resignations of pretty high-placed people say he's got morale problems already or anyway?
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. I don't think that one decision not to punish, to punish George Tenet and senior officials is going to make up for the fact that people feel, are voting with their feet, and they feel that there is not an appropriate, perhaps, leadership or decisions. Whatever is driving these people away, I think, needs to be looked at. And I know that the agency does retention studies all the time, but they're missing some major point here. Why so many people are leaving who are disgruntled, who were dedicated careerists? Something is wrong here, and I don't know that Porter Goss can either get at it, or he may feel it challenges his leadership authority, with case we got a real problem.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Robert Baer, what are you hearing from your circle about Porter Goss and how he's making out? The reports have been lately that it's been a struggle for him. Is that what you're hearing from inside?
He has met a wall of resistance to, you know, speaking for him. On the other hand, the people he brought in from outside the agency are causing serious problems.
Yeah.
This job, the second guy at the Director of Operations, I know a lot of people that were offered the job and turned it down, simply didn't want the responsibility, and they see the agency going in the wrong way.
The wrong way being what?
It's unable to collect intelligence. People that have no experience in operations are being promoted. The morale caused by accusations on 9/11 and so on and so on. And the other question is, so many people are leaving to work for private contractors. That's the practicality of it. They can quadruple their salaries overnight.
And who? What are they securing in that work? Are they helping corporations increase their intelligence gathering, or just to, presumably they're not guards at factory gates?
A lot of the positions that are once held by government employees are being held by contractors. So they're essentially resigning on or retiring on a Friday and coming back on Monday morning.
And working for someone else, doing it from the private side.
Working for the CIA, but of course at a much better salary.
Right. Judith, we're reading here about the Bush administration supporting big cuts in satellite programs to free up more money for human spying. That should play to the CIA's traditional strength or reputation, shouldn't it?
Well, nice to think so, but this is not 1945 or 55. It's not the Cold War anymore, and it's not Europe where you can throw a lot of people at a cocktail party or organizations that are much easier to penetrate. I'm not sure that Hewitt is going to solve the problem. It's going in the entirely opposite direction that the agency went under Stansfield Turner. Get rid of the human collectors, go with all the technical stuff. And that was wrong. But this is a correction entirely in the other direction, neither one of which, to go to an extreme, is wrong. It is much tougher to do the kind of, and again, I only know this because I read Bob's books, right?
Mm.
But to go to the kind of trade craft that may have worked 30 years ago, 20 years ago, but in targeting these closed cells that recruit from known people are very secretive and require special skills, and your average American, even if he is has all those sophisticated European kind of covers, ain't going to work out there.
And yet that's what intelligence is. Bob Baer, is there an alternative to human intelligence gathering with this challenge?
We need all three. Judy's right. We need satellites, we need intercepts, and we need human. It's the only way to do it.
And at some point, we need some kind of accountability. We've learned a lot more about what that might look like in this hour. Robert Baer, author of See No Evil and Sleeping with the Devil, thank you very much for being with us this hour.
Thank you.
And Frank Anderson, chief of Near East and South Asia Division of the CIA from 91 to 95, 28-year veteran. Thank you for joining us, Frank.
You're welcome.
And Judith Yaffe, Iraq specialist at the National Defense University, longtime CIA analyst. Judith, thank you for being with us.
You're most welcome.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
On Point is a production of WBUR Boston and NPR, National Public Radio.